The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday! It's Expository Thursday! Are we there yet? As we look at instructions for the little campers as well as insights for mom and dad. First up, we need to understand what the definitional age of children is and when do they actually become adults. Never if you're a parent. I'm just kidding. And then next, what does it mean to honor your parents? At what age does that end? Never if you're a parent. I'm not kidding. And finally, we examine the double or triple meaning of the promise of a long life on earth.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Tiara, I need you to double check. Somebody sent in, said they don't have internet service. I don't know if it's our internet. Is our internet on? Just double check it for us. I just want to make sure that we're doing what we've got. I don't know if it's everybody or not, but we'll just do our best to find out real fast.
We're still streaming, so I think we're good.
It's streaming, so that's a good thing. So if you're not getting any internet or if you're having a problem, just turn it off or turn it on. Well, of course, if they're streaming, they wouldn't hear that. That's a good point. Anyway, keep in mind, there's so much going on. We want to know what you think. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it right, forthright. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also call us 972-445-0770. And just to get things rolling, we're going to drop a real easy trivia question for you just to get ready. Where, in what chapter in the Bible, where is the Hall of Fame of Faith located? What's the chapter? What's the book? It's the Hall of Fame of Faith, where great works of faith are discussed, one right after another, right after another, right after another. Where is that located in the Bible? If you know that answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, all topics are open for conversation because it's not professional radio, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so I already talked to Tiara. We already show that the material is streaming, so it could be some of the Apple. I'm not sure what it is, so I'll have to just see what's going on there. I can't do much about it, except I might be able to leave here while I'm doing the show and fix the entire internet for everybody. Or not. Maybe I can't do that. I probably can't do that. Bottom line, we've got so much material to cover, and I want to point out a couple things, and we are tight on time. We're going to be doing Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 today. We're going to be doing Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 next week. For those that do not know, that's on slavery. So we're going to get some really interesting biblical teaching, and you're going to find out what the big difference is between the Bible and countries that abuse or misuse or don't even understand what the Bible's talking about. Because why? Because God is always right and man is always wrong. It keeps it simple. But today we're diving into mom and dad and the kiddos. We're going to get to that in a second. As you know, we don't do a lot of ministry partner stuff when we're doing expository teaching. So just a quick shout out to Kimberly McQuinn for real estate. If you want any information from her, go to our website. A quick shout out to Men of God Moving. If you have any moving needs, if you want to get in touch with them, go to our website. And a quick shout out to Clint and to Mr. Restore for fire and water damage cleanup. If you want to get in touch with them, then all you got to do is go to our website and get the contact information. Gives you a chance to kind of connect to them. They will be glad to take care of you. But that is all we're going to do, and that's all we're going to talk about right now in regards to ministry partners. I want to give a shout out. I didn't do this the other day, and I forgot, and I apologize. I wanted to say hi to Cordy because she's a part of her, and it's her and Joy that really – her and Cordy and Joy just really are a blessing for the show, and we appreciate them. So big shout out to Cordy today. And I know that one way or another, Joy will get that to her if she's not listening. Don't forget, today is applesauce cake day. I don't even know what that is. What is applesauce cake day? Is that cake with applesauce? I mean, I've never even heard of that. I've never even had that. It's a hug your cat day, but that's only if your cat wants to be hugged. And it's also National Cheese Day. I got nothing for you there. And then it's also shopping cart day. Sylvan Goldman, the owner of Humpty Dumpty Grocery Stores in Oklahoma City, was the one who designed the shopping cart. Who would know this kind of information? And why do we want to know? I can't answer that. 1917 on this day, the first Pulitzer Prize was awarded. Also on this day, 1940, the Winston Churchill famous speech where he said, "We will never surrender," was given on this day. And then also in 1942 on this day, the Battle of Midway began, was Japan's first major defeat in the war. So for those who are into the history part of the show, there you go. Hope that's a blessing. Hope you like it. But now we get ready for expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's all I can say, folks. Wow! People are like going, what is wrong with you? Everything. But I have so much material to cover. We got to get right to it. Don't forget the question out for trivia, whether you want to call in at 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. There is a chapter in the Bible that we call the Hall of Fame of Faith. Where is that? What book? What chapter? Let me know if you know. If not, I'll tell you, we got some answers coming in, and we will give you the fullness of the response in a wee bit. Okay. Wee bit. I guess that's a little bit of Irish and a little bit of small. I don't know. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Couple things to teach and to talk about right away. Have you noticed here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul directly, listen to this, directly addresses children. Now, you think, well, what's the big deal about that? It's interesting because Paul addresses children assuming their presence in the congregation while the letter is being read. You see, you got to catch these things. These are the things that make all the difference about understanding the Bible. You see, he gives a direct address to children, which is his way. Children, I'm going to tell you something. This is coming from his letter, a letter that's being read to the church. This is not something the parents are supposed to communicate to the kids. This is directly to the kids, which assumes the kids will be in the congregation. I'm just saying, you can get mad at me. I don't have a problem, by the way, with children's church. Don't get the wrong idea. I think all that is really good. But I'm just saying, in regards to the letter, in regards to the community getting together, the kids got to be there sometime. I mean, you can't separate them. I think it's more fascinating for people to think that children are to not be heard from and should just be quiet and whatever the case may be. You're going to find out in Scripture that's 100% wrong. Oh, this is people hate this stuff because it's like, what do you mean it's wrong? It's wrong. First, let's understand what the word children means. Children means, it's techna in the Greek. It means not of age. What is not of age? 0 to 19 in Judaism, in the Jewish custom, 0 to 19 was a child. 20 to 39, a young adult. 40 to 59, an adult. 60 and above, an elder. Four classifications. Okay? Child. Okay? Young adult. Adult. Elder. This was to those that were 0 to 19. Pretty much, because by the 19-20 year, that was them becoming independent. Even back then, even though some of them lived closely associated, they had took on another set and another realm of responsibility. It also says, children, obey your parents. And it's kind of important to understand that the obedience is not just this absolute obedience to no matter what the parent says, because if the parent says something contrary to the word of God, even the child should not obey. But it does indicate that the child should be responsive to whatever it is the parent is trying to communicate, because that is their way of honoring God. And the Lord takes that very seriously. It's a little bit greater than the concept of submitting and surrendering. It's having an immediate response to the request that's being given. But keep in mind, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, which means this has nothing to do with outside of the Lord. So if your parent tells the child something to do outside of the Lord, they don't have a requirement biblically to obey that. That's not what it says. So you have to just recognize what it is and what it isn't. It doesn't mean that a parent can't direct children. I'm trying to give you the overall principles that Paul's communicating. What I find fascinating is that there are two things that people miss, and Christianity did something that's never been done. I'm not going to be able to get into it in this segment, but I'll give you a hint. In all the other cultures, it was only the father that was being acknowledged. But when Christianity came into play, it changed the family structure and brought mom and dad on the same plane. It's very, very fascinating from a sociological point of view. But the biggest thing for you and I to keep in mind is Paul is addressing the children, because he has confidence that the children know how to respond to instruction. And we should have that confidence too. And we should have confidence in the kids. And by the way, there's a difference between 5 and 15, but that's where the wisdom of the parent comes into play. Get that? All right. When we get back, you're going to go, uh-oh. That's all I got for you. You got uh-ohs coming up in parenting, both by the way for the children's sake and both for the parent's sake. It's just the way it is, the way that Scripture lays it out. It doesn't bend for anybody. It tells you the way it should be. For the answer to the question on that great chapter where the Hall of Fame of Faith is, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great Hall of Fame of Faith. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, right. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, our phone, remember that phone? Remember the thing called the phone? Yeah, I know you do. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770 is the phone number to text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. By way of trivia question, we have got a really good one for you. Let's see if you guys is a little bit of digging into the Old Testament for you. Here we go. Ready. Why did the 7 years seem like only a few days for Jacob in regards to him getting to marry Rachel? Okay, now, I'm not talking about what happened afterwards, but why did it just seem like only a few days, even though it was 7 years? I have never done anything in my life for 7 years where it seemed like a few days. I've not done that personally. Why? Did it only seem like a few days for Jacob? There's a very specific answer. I do want to remind you about our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. And that's really important to remember, because that's a place where you can give. That's a place where you can find the salvation prayer if you want to walk somebody through it. That's also the place where you can find a little line in there that says how to build a battle star. It's also a place where you can get my testimony, audio, video, and eventually we'll have like fudge brownie recipes up there. Okay, I don't know. I'm just working on it. So you can go to hemustincrease.org. We certainly would ask you to pray for us. And if you're able to give, we would appreciate that. I just saw somebody on the television. I just got to say it because I said something to Noel just yesterday. So we were flipping the channels and somebody was on there and they have a ministry. And I love ministries. I like different denominational ministries. I think ministry is fantastic. But they got on at the end of the show, which is typically what happens. And they said, we don't need you to be generous. And I was like, okay, that's very nice. He goes, we need you to be extra generous. And I was just thinking, wow, he wants me to be extra generous.
Wow.
Exactly what I thought. I was just thinking, no. Okay, hemustincrease.org. David, hemustincrease.org is the email. David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. We are talking about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'll get it. It's Monday, isn't it? Oh, wait, maybe it's not Monday. Okay, and we're talking about children, and here's the text. Children, obey your parents for the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Ding, ding, ding. Little problem there. It's not the only commandment with a promise. It's not even technically the first commandment with the promise, because there are promises that are given prior. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because when the scripture says something, it's important for you and I to understand or to grasp what's trying to be communicated. Here, Paul is talking to the Ephesians church, and as you can tell in chapter 5, 21 through 32, 33, whatever, he's talking to mom and dad, and now he's talking to the kids, and then he's going to be talking again to mom and dad, and then he's going to be talking about what we called slavery and what the Bible calls servanthood, and this, we're going to get into that framework, and then he talks about a few other socioeconomic situations. And so what we need to grasp from this is that when Paul is talking about this, he's talking about its priority as much as anything else. And why is that important? Because it's a priority in the mind of God for children to honor their father and mother. And it does have a promise, and it's the first totally cool promise, I would say. But here's what the word says. It says honor. And the word honor is very important because, as you can tell, and I'm talking about this practically, you honor your parents when you're younger, and then as you get older, you're still supposed to honor your parents. And when you get even older, you're still supposed to honor your parents. But sometimes you know your parent may be confusing things. Maybe they're getting older. Maybe you're mixing things together. So the word honor actually means to be in consideration of, or to highly consider and highly respect. Why that's important, it means to respect and to esteem. So if your parent says something to you, and I'm talking a little bit to older people, if your parent says something to you and you know, oh, that's not right, okay, they're just off a little bit, you don't make fun of them, you don't belittle them, okay? Unless you have a relationship like my son and I, where part of our fun is making fun of each other, okay? And then we always, you know, make sure at the end that we don't keep that going. But my point is your attitude and response and redirection of how you love and how you take care of your parents is very important. And your older parents won't always be right, but you can always honor them. You understand that? So it's not always just doing what they say, because it could be, and I'm going to say this in the most loving way, my grandpa lived till he was 95. Right? He was actually a very intellectual guy, had 118 patents for an engineering company. So he really, really knew his stuff, right? But in 94, when Grandpa was telling David and Grandpa was telling my mom, he should go into painting. When I heard he had a family, it was like, okay, thank you, Grandpa. Do you see what I'm saying? You can honor them and not belittle. And I think that's really important, because I think some people really ridicule their parents. And it's a great, great disrespect, and we need to be really aware of that. In regards to the first commandment with promise, the word first and promise are protos, which means first in importance rather than sequence. And so what it's talking about in regarding this commandment, and this is by a majority of commentators, I don't think you have to buy into this. I think there's a part of this that's true and a part of this that's like, it's kind of a way to get out of it. But it says regard the commandment, it's regarding the commandment as the weightiest of all, the one with most significance. And that actually comes from rabbis interpreting the honor your mother and father. It's not that that has no validity. It's just that it you have to understand when it talks about promise, and we're going to talk about the promise in the next segment, it also is talking about this in broad strokes. It's a great promise, and we're going to discuss it in specifics. But you're supposed to honor your mom and dad. And I will tell you something I've never really talked about a lot on the air. And that is, I really had a hard time honoring my dad because he was a very unfaithful man, and he cheated on my mom like 20 times. And so I didn't like that. And so me, I'm, highly, brought up with that. I mean, we had a phone line in our house that was just for my dad's mistresses. I mean, that's how bad that was, right? So it was difficult for me. And I had to come to a reconciliation, and I think only part of me has come to the fullness of that reconciliation. I'm not sure all of me has. But my mom was so fantastic. She was the best mom ever. When I became a Christian, instead of her disowning me, she was the only family member, by the way, she wanted to understand what I was thinking, what I was going through, what it meant, How did it apply? Why did I go that direction? She was curious. She was a lot more freaked out when I told her about the first demonic encounter I had. But, you know, hey, I mean, I just tell it the way it is. And but I just really respected her. And as my mom got older, she got less coherent before she passed. I honored her to the day of her death and passed. Passed that death. Because I think she's a great mom. I thought she was the greatest mom. So a part of me gets this commandment and walks in it, and then this other part of me waddles back and forth and tries to, if that makes any sense. So my parents passed on. My dad passed on when I was 20. My mom passed on about 15 years ago or 12 years ago, somewhere in that range, 2007, 13 years ago. And the idea is for us to treat our parents with this sense of respect. And the reason that I'm telling you guys is because it's more adults than kids that listen to this show. And you need to treat your mom and your dad with a sense of honor and never stop doing that. And if one of you has one moment where that honor is better, then I've done my job. That's my job. If one of you will just take that to heart, then I've done what I was supposed to do. So when it says, when it's saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. A lot of commentaries think this is first commandment by weightiness, by strength. Other people think, well, maybe chapter 3 or the third commandment doesn't have so much promise. I understand. I don't care. Here's what you get. You get that the children are supposed to obey their parents. This is right. You're supposed to do it in the Lord. And you're supposed to honor your father and mother and be in consideration of them. And even if they say something wrong, that's not the time in your life to jump down their throat and go, you're wrong. Ha ha. That's just immaturity. You honor them. You might not do everything they say, but please be in consideration of it because that's what the scripture commands. One of the reasons this is important is because this is a structure that God has set up, children to parents. And there's one thing that I do want to say that's important, and that is a child is dependent on the parent. And then at a certain point, the child becomes more independent, and it's easy to forget the time and the energy that the parent put in when you become independent. Until you have your own kids, then you go, wow, mom and dad knew so much more than I thought. Yeah, it's all part of growing up. When we get back, here's the coolest part of the show. I'm really hoping you guys get into this. By the way, why did the 7 years seem only like a few days for Jacob in regards to him marrying Rachel? Because he so loved her that it went by lickety-split. Okay, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Where we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that He's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm glad to be in Texas. I just want to say right now. So we've been here more than 2.5 years. I mean, nobody could have told me 2.5 years ago that the things that were going to be going on in the different cities, like where we lived in San Diego and in L.A. and New York, you could never have told me 2.5 years ago those things were going to happen. I'm glad I'm in Texas. That's all I gotta say. It's like, praise God. You know, it's almost like the Lord says,
everything's better in Texas.
And there's something about it. Just like the Lord goes, here. I think you need to get out of here because I don't want your head to explode. Here, go over here. This is the place you ought to be. Okay, I got it. And that's not Beverly Hills, by the way. Let's see. You can reach this show. Text it 214-210-8483. So I have two more trivia questions. One is harder than the other. I can't decide whether I should do the hard one or the easy one. I'm kind of twixt between the two. Texting 214-210-8483 or 972-445-0770. What relationship was Laban to Jacob? There you go. What relationship was Laban to Jacob? Okay. I can't say more, because if I say more, then I would give you the answer, and then you'd have the answer, and that's not the way to do that. And then the next one I have is much harder. So what relationship was Laban to Jacob? I'll leave it there. 214-210-8483. You can call 972-445-0770. Here we are going forward in Ephesians. Don't forget, by the way, our website, hemustincrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I do need prayer because I have one of my thesis things that I'm pulling together resources. And I was supposed to submit 15 resources, and I almost submitted 38. So I thought he's going to write me and go, Dave, you need to be on medicine. You know, I just think that's coming. Because there's just so much to choose from. It's really hard sometimes. All right, let's go back to this Ephesian text. And the reason that I bring that up is because I have a problem with these things. Sometimes making a decision, you'd think that just making a solid decision would be easy. Not always. I mean, sometimes, you know. I mean, do I want a chocolate sundae or do I want a brownie? I mean, sometimes it's hard. Our children, obey your parents in the Lord. What is it? Children, letter directly to the kids, right? Paul assuming they're going to listen. Obey your parents more than just submit. Have a tremendous amount of response to it. In the Lord, very important to add the in the Lord part, because a lot of parents use their authority and it's not in the Lord. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Again, one thing I didn't point out, my failure, I apologize, is children obey your parents. The word parents is plural. And then it says honor your father and mother. It's not just to the father. It's to the father and the mother. You see, the kids are supposed to acknowledge and yield to mom and dad. Here's one of the great, great fallacies in our personal American society, you might disagree, and you're entitled to, but I think Scripture is just absolutely clear. It's not once you get married, then you have kids, and then it's all about the kids. Okay, that is like the worst way to do things. What it is you get married and you have kids, and the husband and wife function as a unit. And you don't let the kids divide and conquer, and you don't let the kids rule the roost, and you as parents together, husband and wife, make the decisions and how things go. That's what brings about the healthiest and most productive and most favorable relationships. I will tell you right now that if Noel had something to say, it was no different than if I said it, and if I had something to say, it was no different than Noel said it. That's how it goes. And the kids, that alliance is so strong, it's not even funny how strong our alliance is. So if they get a call from Noel, it's a call from me. That's just how we do it. And it's very important that you also recognize that Christianity is the first major faith to say, even though the Father has that headship that is acknowledged in other portions, it's father and mother that are the parents, and the kids are to surrender or submit to them. And the elevation of the position of mother in Christianity is sociologically one of the most fascinating elements that's taken place. And it shouldn't be. I mean, if it's single parent, it's unfortunate. It's not that it doesn't happen, but the ideal situation is father and mother. That's not hard. Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. These are the promises, that it will go well and that you'll live long. The reason that it would go well is that the parents are training the child up to be dependent on the Lord. And so if you're going to be dependent on the Lord, it's going to go well, and then you can live long. And I thought, stupid me, I thought, well, live long, that means live long. I mean, that's kind of what it means. But of course, there's more to it than I thought. And there turns out that there are three separate elements to the live long, go well and live long. Ready? The first one is the quantity of life, your length of days. The second is the quality of life, what kind of life you have. And the third one that I had never even considered was that this is also a part of eternal life. And I was like, what? I never saw that before. So I had to read some different commentators. And what they're saying is this. I'm actually going to read you the commentators because the way they say it's better than the way I can say it. In regards to the quantity of life, this is length of days, that promise where it says that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. The first commentator says this. This refers to the promised land, the land of Canaan. The meaning doubtless is that there would be special providence securing to those who were obedient to their parents length of days. Long life was regarded as a great blessing, and this blessing was promised. Okay, that's one commentator. Now here's another commentator, same text. This promise is always fulfilled either literally or by substitution of a higher blessing, namely one that is spiritual. Like, really? I never even thought of that. And then here's the third commentator. Thou that thou mayest livest long and be happy. This promise is still fulfilled to believers, either in the thing itself here promised or in a better way, God's giving them eternal life. These guys are all smarter than I am. Every one of these people down the road. The one that I found that I like is this one, because I think it's all of the above plus. The promise is not for each individual. Many good and obedient children do not live a long life, but the general tendency of obedience to parents is toward the results specified. When obedience to parents is found, there is usually found along with it temperance, self-control, industry, regular ways of life, and other habits that tend towards prosperity and longevity. In other words, what this commentator is saying is when the parents are in the Lord and doing it right, and they raise their kids to be in the Lord and to do it right, the life is more blessed and it's more right because the child is more dependent on the Lord. And it's like, I can't argue with that. I mean, I just can't do it. Because the reality check is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. These are two really awesome things. And I've always wondered in the back of my mind, well, you know, did I honor my mom? Yes, I think I did. Did I honor my dad? No, I don't think so. Does that mean that I've hurt myself in that capacity? Now, I know God forgives. It's not like that. But I always wonder about that. And then I realized the quality of my life is the testimony that as much honor as I could give, I did give my dad. Because I've had an amazing life and I'm only 58. I mean, I feel like I've lived three lifetimes. And I'm just blessed in the Lord. So I think there's a truth to the quality and to the quantity of life. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the checkout date is. So we'll have to see. But eternal life for sure. And I look at this stuff and I think, look at God laying in Ephesians the family structure. I mean, in the next segment, this is the one that the one that pulls at my heartstrings, because we're going to get into that about fathers and children. But look at, he's laying out the children, obey your parents and the Lord, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. God is trying to instill into people who follow him a right way of living. The promises of God and the commands of God, the reason that the commands aren't grievous is because if we respond to them, we get the best of. And if we disobey them, we tend to go into the worst of. And I'm not always convinced the worst of is because God sends it. Sometimes it's the worst of because we create it. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned and created that exit strategy from the Garden of Eden. And it's like, man, we got to not do that. You got to not embrace sin in your life, in your family, in the way you engage with one another, and thereby create opportunities to exit any kind of Eden. I just think that's really wise. I mean, that's smarter than I am. As a parent, I think I did a pretty good job, but not the best job. But my parenting doesn't seem to end, and I don't think your parenting will ever end, and I don't think that my being a child really ever ends, because I don't stop being a child of God, and your childhood never ends, because you'll always have God as your father, even if your earthly parents have moved on. So I look at that and I think the Lord was trying to help us all walk together. You see what I'm saying? He's trying to help us. It's not just, he's not giving us commandments to take the fun away. This will be, God, he's just a party pooper. It's like, no, he's not. He's trying to spare you and I from stupid decisions that create great havoc and destruction in our lives. All right. The last segment is the one that's dearest to my heart, and I promise you, you probably have not seen this quite this way. This would be kind of revelatory for some of you. By the way, the relationship between Laban and Jacob, Laban was Jacob's uncle. That is the answer. He was his uncle. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white. Sometimes welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Alrighty, I do want to let you know, okay, a couple things to tell you ahead of time. So a week from today when we do expository, there is only this one and three more Ephesians expositories. That's it. So it's this one and three more, and then Ephesians will be done. And so we're still praying and asking for your input on Philippians or Acts, unless the Lord just wrong. So right now it's between Philippians and Acts, just to let you know. There are this one and three other ones, and then Ephesians will be done. And I will have completed a expository teaching on a book. That's number one. Number two, tomorrow I'm going to share with you some very personal testimonial things that happened to me by way of teaching. I'm going to share with you some things, some pivotal moments in my walk. Perhaps it will be a blessing for you. I hope so. I hope it's encouraging to you. Additionally, now I'm going to remind you about texting or calling us. Text us at 214-210-8483 or call us at 972-445-0770. Here is the final and most difficult trivia question. Who was the third son of Jacob? Who was? Now, you know the answer is in Genesis, and you can look it up. Don't Google it. Just look it up. Who was the third son of Jacob? There you go. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. We appreciate everybody reaching out to us and getting back to us. Website, by the way, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. This show, the one you do expository, is probably the easiest for Tiara to do because she doesn't have to – the sounds really. She just has to put up with me, which, by the way, you're doing an excellent job, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm trying.
You are doing an excellent job. Let's get into the very last section, which I think you're going to find out. People don't like this because when I talk about stuff like this, a lot of this is challenging to either how they parented or they were parented. So, like, I get it, but I didn't write it. I'm just sharing what it says. Here's the next section. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So children, directed to them, obey your parents in the Lord, right? This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. Quantity, quality, and eternity. Okay. Four. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here's one of the things that Christianity did that is the big mind blower, right? The gospel introduces a fresh element into parental responsibility by insisting that the feelings of the child must be taken into consideration. Because it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why that's amazing is, one, because 100 years ago it would be children are seen and not heard, right? Completely contrary to scripture. Completely. You're not supposed to exasperate your children. You're not supposed to put them in a position where they're not being considered. The child-parent relationship, according to Christianity, is not one-sided. That's what you got to get. And when people are like, well, my kid did anything, I just slapped him and threw him in the corner. It's like, well, that's absurdity. Now, I confess that I did at times threaten my children to remove them from the planet and replace them with one that looked just like them. But those were not the finer moments. Those are the worser moments, okay? And why I'm trying to say that is because even as a parent now, you still, even if you're an older parent or if you're a younger parent, you have to be aware that the parent-child relationship is never one-sided. It's mutual. And here's one of the most amazing things. It's when it says, instead, fathers, do not exasperate your children. You know, it doesn't say mothers here. And you would think, well, why doesn't it say mothers there? Mostly because guys are more tending to exasperate kids. That's just the reality. What part don't you? Not all fathers. It's just in general, fathers are more exasperating to children than mothers. So Paul's like, don't do that. That doesn't reflect Jesus. Don't do that. In fact, Jesus was blessing the kids. Remember what happened when he was blessing the kids? The disciples got all mad and they started to rebuke him. But Jesus is like, what are you doing? Jesus got mad at his disciples because they were trying to put the kids in their place. And Jesus was like, wrong. Their angels are before the face of my Father. Back off. It's like, wow. That was a change, wasn't it? That was a structural move, wasn't it? And then it says this, and this is the part that's going to get you the most. Have you ever, like, you look at the 1890s, 1880s, 1890s, or 1900s, and they show the families, they're in the little parlor room, and the father's sitting there, and he's smoking a pipe and reading what might be a newspaper. I'm not sure. And then the kids are quietly playing Scrabble, and then the father's saying nothing, and then go to your room, children, kind of thing. You know that whole thing? Okay. That does not exist in Scripture. What the Scripture says is that the parents are supposed to bring the child up in training and instruction. The word instruction is nothesia. And you know what nothesia means? It means correction by word of mouth. You know what that means? It means that the father is not silent. The child is not silent. And the father is not silent. In Christianity, the father is admonished to communicate with the child. Why? Because men thought so much of themselves that they didn't think it worthy that they had to spend time talking to their children. Like W.C. Field said, get away from me, kids, you bother me. Remember that? This is what it is. And it's like, that's all wrong. None of that's scriptural. In fact, nuthesia is instruction by word of mouth. It's giving advice and giving encouragement. And you know where a child gets an enormous amount of encouragement? From a dad. Not just from mom. The mom is almost like it's self-evident. The dad needs to be an encourager too. The dad needs to communicate. The dad needs to speak. A quick glance and a quick blink is often not enough. Perhaps telling your child that you're proud of them would be helpful. And you think, well, that's not how the Americana was. I know. Well, that's how, well, it wasn't that way in the Roman. I know. But that's the scripture. And you can't undo what's in there. And so when it talks about instruction by word of mouth, you're encouraging, you're advising, you're putting it into their minds. And by the way, exasperation in the Greek has to do with an unreasonableness, and many people are unreasonable in their parents. So you gotta not think that way. I mean, you should never say or do anything to your child you wouldn't do if Jesus was standing right next to you. Period. Because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and they are standing next to you. Ah. And you think, well, why are you bagging on dads that way? Because I'm a dad. I get to bag on me. I get to bag on Jewish people, Christian people. I get to bag on people on the radio. Because I'm one of them. And I know what's wrong with us. So the idea is to train them a discipline. It's not just nurturing. That King James word's maybe a little bit soft in there. That's more. It's just overall more instructional. It's more disciplined. It's like when you tell your kid, don't touch that. That's hot. And they go to do it again. You don't just say, all right, well, go ahead. I'll just let you burn yourself. It's like, no. You go, don't touch that. Or you will face a whole nother kind of wrath that you're – it's like, that's – well, okay. That's the parent taking the time to make sure that the child's getting what's going on. Now, there's a way to do it and not a way to do it, and I'm not telling every father to be chatty like me, but you got to talk to your kids. And if you're a dad and you don't talk to your kids, Scripture encourages you to do so. Instead of being weird about it, just work on it. Instead of mom and dad being weird about it, no, it's all about the kids. Nope. When I pray for my children, I pray for my son and my daughter-in-law and my daughter and my son-in-law, I pray that they would all be in – I pray that they would be in God first, then into each other next, and then into their children. Because that will give the children, the grandchildren, the best possible structure. And this is coming from Scripture. I don't have to change it around. I just got to follow it. And that's all we got to do. And no, it's not easy. If it was easy, it wouldn't be written about. If there was nothing to it, you wouldn't have a whole section on it, would you? All right. Next week, when we get into this, we're going to talk about slavery. We're going to talk about employment. We're going to talk about American slavery and biblical slavery. And they're as close together as Nancy Pelosi and Ronald Reagan. Not that close together. I will tell you that the third son of Jacob, I was going to give you a hint, but I decided not to, was Levi. That's the name of our dog, by the way, Levi. And it means attached. Levi is attached. And it was funny because for our dog, he just comes and leans on us and is a very attached dog. So we thought that was always appropriate. Okay, going to take a break. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian Station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then tomorrow, very intense teach and talk. We'll talk with you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.